in your Bibles for a few moments tonight to 1 Corinthians 15 and Revelation chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 15 and Revelation 9. Again, this past week was reminded again of something that we read about at these verses 55, 56, and 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 55, O death, where is thy sting? Now the answer is right there in the verse. It is the grave. Where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. On the occasion of Mary's burial on Monday, I reminded those who were present in passing that I think that given the recent way of doing things at funeral homes, wherein especially during bad weather you have the funeral and then you have a little slash committal at the funeral home, which is convenient, especially if it's snowing or raining or whatever, it's very convenient. But what it has served to do is to rob the family members and friends of an occasion to see just how nasty death is. The sting mentioned here is the grave. And there's nothing like that to remind we who are hurrying through life as we do of our mortality and the finality of that event as the body is lowered into that hole. And you see that. Now, normally, whenever I've had funerals at our church, I generally always do. I can't remember an exception where I will go to the graveyard with the undertaker if they have that committal in house and make sure that everything is squared away at the cemetery. And so I'm reminded of that all the time. But I think it is a good thing for people to feel the sting of the reality of that event. Whenever I think of this word sting as in these verses a couple times mentioned, it comes from a word that directs us to this understanding. It has reference to a center point, where the prick of a sharp object makes its impact and leaves its poison. You have there in Revelation chapter 9 an example, the first five verses. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And then it says in verse 3, there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. I point out verse number 5. To them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. The word strike there is the same word, comes from the same word sting. And so you can imagine that the center point of the prick where the poison makes its impact in that sense. And it is said there that the sting of sin struck at the heart of man, which it does. That's detailed for us in a place like Romans chapter 5, midway through that chapter, where it says death passed upon all men because all of sin and so forth and so on. But the sting of sin struck at the heart of man, the whole of man, body, soul, and spirit. And thus it's at the center point. It struck at the center point, sin did. So the sting of death is sin. I want you to think with me, maybe some of you saw this, and I was reminded of it when I came across this reading. I think this past week I was on my hike, and there are one of two trails that I take, or one of two courses that I take, and I try to alternate them or mix it in, and I just had it pointed out to me as I was walking down the curb on this side course. He said, my friend, Mr. Hallman, oh, by the way, we were praying for Matthew Hallman, Terry's son. Terry said that he landed his plane in Kansas last night, so he'll be home for 3 months, and then he'll go back over for tour number eight. But anyhow, he stopped me. He said, did you see that thing hanging on the tree there? And I said, what thing was that? He said, well, look, right there. I could not see it. And I'm looking and looking and looking, and all of a sudden I see this humongous, big old hive just dangling out over the road, right there at head height. And I got to thinking, wow, I said, why don't you take that down? Get it down off of there. So I haven't looked yet to see if he did it. But then this morning I was reading that this poor golfer in Gaylord, Michigan, at some resort, was in the rough looking for his ball. And these bees came up out of the ground. He was stung 20 times in his head and neck. No known allergy to bee stings, but the man succumbed. Just a young fella. 20 bee stings delivered. And he even was golfing with his friend who was a doctor. Could not do anything for him. His breathing just shut down. So I got to thinking about the sting of death. And it seems to me that there was an old Bible teacher who related a story about something that happened to his two sons as they were walking in their yard, just having fun like father and sons would do in their backyard. And he said he noticed, as he looked at his oldest boy, he said this bee made a straight line for his son's head, nailed him on the head. And his son shrieked in pain, threw himself down on the grass. He's trying to get relief, and he's help. And he said, wouldn't you know it? He said, the same bee made a beeline for his younger son. And the younger son saw it coming, and he panics, throws himself down on the ground, help. And he goes over to his younger son, and he said, listen, sonny. He said, don't you know this? He said, that a bee can only sting you once. He said, let's go see your brother for a moment. He walks over to his son. You see that stinger in his forehead? That stinger right there in the forehead? He said, this bee that stung your brother was after you. All he can do is buzz, make a mess, and scare you, but he's not going to put this stinger in your head. So I thought, well, I suppose if you are fortunate enough to run into only one, that you might be able to do something. But it points out another consideration when we think about what we read in 1 Corinthians 15. You know, when you think about what Jesus did for us, as implied there in verse number 57, he gives us the victory, the sting. He might say not only he is the antidote for the sting, but he's the cure for it. That he took our sin, and since death has only one sting, the law can ask satisfaction only once. Death is what the law requires. You and I know that Christ hath fulfilled the law in his death. And therefore death, the sting, so to speak, is powerless to hurt us because the sting was placed in our, can I say it this way, our elder brother. And so when it may approach and buzz around and come just a little bit too close for comfort, we may feel that panic rush, but you know, that's about the most that it can do. Death has not any way to be victorious. The only thing that this old Bible teacher said was, the only thing that he fears now is to finally be in the presence of God with his sin. And being as much as he has trusted Christ as his Savior, that is not even possible. Not possible. And so he writes that the defeated tyrant, death, has become for the Christian a servant charged with the responsibility of opening the gates of paradise. So when you go back again to 1 Corinthians 15, 55, there are two questions there that are asked. First of which, O death, where is thy sting? Where is the center point, the impact? And again, the answer is right in the same verse. Well, the sting is to be felt by those who observe the grave. Literally, the word there in 1 Corinthians is Hades, the place of aforetime of departed souls. You and I know that death for the child of God has not Hades in mind, because the scriptures teach us that once we are absent from this body, we are present with the Lord. But before that happens, there may well be some sweating. There may well be some angst. There may well be a little bit of anxiety and nervousness. But that is about all that it can accomplish. You and I have a promise that goes quite beyond that grave. Quite beyond the grave. Even as the body was laid in the grave on Monday. I couldn't help but thinking when I was watching that all transpire and watching the gestures of her family as they deposited a rose on top of her casket lid, and they put that vault lid back down on it, set it in its place, watertight, so to speak, going to be covered with dirt. I kept thinking again in my own heart. I said, you know, this is such a futile exercise that man does, because this is just a borrowed lot based on what Christ has said. That grave is going to burst open again. And so when the time comes and you see the bee, so to speak, buzzing around your head, remember that's all it can do is make the noise. The sting of death is sin. And we read here that in verse 57, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. A man by the name of James Bakewell wrote these words. He said, "Hail, thou agonizing Savior, bearer of our sin and shame. By thy merits we find favor. Life is given through thy name." And so, yes, there may well be that interruption on the route to glory above, and you may either witness it in the life of your family or friends. You may have to experience it yourself, but it is but a temporary inconvenience on the road to a more and enduring improvement. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of Scripture concerning life and death. Yes, it is appointed unto men once to die. It is. But it is also true that you have determined that those who do pass away in this earthly life and come to the place where mortality is realized are not held there indefinitely. We thank you for the truth of the resurrection and the promise that we have in the person of Christ, who himself is the first fruits. He, Lord, as we understand it, is the guarantee, the promise of life to come, eternal life. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your blessings. And thank you for these potent reminders that you send along our way. And we pray, dear God, that we might be encouraged. We might be confident, Lord, as we see these things come to pass. And rather than be dismayed when things occur, help us, Lord, rather to think on things above. We ask your blessings now upon each soul here for Jesus' sake. Amen.